Welcome to segment two of the TKO. Here on segment two, we are going to go over Bellator 40, which happened on April 9th. Then we're going to go over Bellator 41, which happened on April 16th. And then we will be previewing Bellator 42, which is set to take place on April 23rd.
Whole lot of Bellator. All
a lot of
face.
Bellator coming at you. So to kick things off, Bellator 40 on April 9th. The headline fight there was a non-title welterweight fight between Ben Askren and Nick Thompson. Ben Askren came out and kind of beat the brakes off of Nick Thompson.
Yeah.
Got a unanimous decision.
Okay, I got to talk about this for a second.
Thompson got an 8 in one of those rounds, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also retired at the end of the fight. How is this young up-and-comer fighting talent like that? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Ben Askren is a decent fighter. His wrestling is second to none.
Yeah.
Okay? He's got great wrestling skills. He's kind of a sleeper. I fell asleep watching the fight. Not going to lie. It's kind of a sleeper fighter. And they're talking about how he's such a great up-and-coming talent. Well, put him up against someone then who actually has some talent, who's not going to retire at the end of the dang fight.
And another thing that upsets me about Bellator, what they're doing recently, is have him fight for the title. They've got all these headline fights that are non-title fight, like fight for the belt. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, well, so what happens if Thomas wins? Just nothing.
Askren's still the champ. He's just got a loss now, apparently. So
yeah, it's just very weird. I understand you don't have top tier or top level people in Bellator, but you need to come up with something else.
They've sort of backed themselves into a corner, I think, with scheduling title matches anyway, because their big slogan is title shots aren't given, they're earned, so you got to go through the tournament to get your title shot. But then you end up with non-title headline fights, and it's ridiculous.
You got the champion sitting around for a year until the next season's over doing absolutely nothing. Well, you guys got to come up with something here, because this whole non-title fight thing, I mean, if I'm looking at it from a fighter's perspective, okay, I have to fight this tough guy and I get absolutely nothing if I win. Why?
That's probably why some of the better fighters in Bellator aren't taking these non-title shots. Like, if I'm gonna fight him, it's gonna be for the belt.
Yeah So it kind of weird, but I will say that Ben Askren does have talent. He's a talented fighter, but as far as I think, if he were to go to the UFC, I think he would be in that mid to maybe upper, like on the cusp there. I don't think
he'd be in the Josh Koscheck, John Fitch area, I think.
Oh, I don't even think that.
Well, he's got that type of wrestling, is my point.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the rest of the skills, is the problem.
Well, neither does Koscheck.
Koscheck's got decent striking. We're not going to start talking about Koscheck because this is going to go off of something. But he's knocked people out. At least 3 or 4 people he's knocked out with his hands. So Ben Askren hasn't even come close.
He hasn't had the number of fights that Koscheck has had. Koscheck can get lucky.
He'll get you down on the ground and, ground and pound you, which wasn't even that impressive of a ground and pound. Just you can't get up,
Yeah.
I mean, so he frustrates fighters, So. To me, it's kind of like you're a one-trick pony. You need to round out your game if you're going to go fight real fighters, not people that retire at the end of your fight, which is just BS to me. Like, anyone knew who that guy was anyway. Sorry. Yeah. Way on a tangent there, but I had to get that off my chest.
Back on track here. Moving on down the fight card, we had Jay Herron fighting Brent Weedman.
The thoroughbred.
Yes, it was the welterweight semifinal. So you had Jay Herron winning a unanimous decision over Brent Weedman, which was a bit odd to me.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that that Weedman actually won 2 out of the 3 rounds.
I honestly could have seen it going either way, but I thought to say it was a unanimous decision, that just seemed a little weird.
That
to
surprised me too. Yeah.
I think it had a lot to do with Jay Herron being around more, having a name.
Has that name,
wanting to move him forward in the tournament. I know they say the judges don't know any of that kind of stuff, but they do.
They do.
And, Weedman came out and put on a good show, and I thought he should at least, on one judge's...
Yeah, got at least a split decision.
Yeah, something. I mean, it wasn't a unanimous decision fight.
Yeah, in my opinion, Weedman won. I would have been okay with a split decision for Herron, but a unanimous decision just didn't seem right to me. It didn't sit well with me.
Me neither.
So Jay Heron's going to move on. He's going to be fighting Rick Hahn in the final, the welterweight final then.
Yes.
And then the winner of that will be fighting then Ben Askren for the actual title. So that'll be good.
A title shot.
Yeah, I know.
Woo!
Weird.
Get crazy. Strap yourself down now.
There was another semifinal that night. It was the lightweight semifinal. It was Michael Chandler versus Lloyd Woodard. Michael Chandler comes away with a unanimous decision victory in that one. That one I was fine with being a unanimous decision.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Yeah. That was a real good fight. And, Woodard came out. He put it all on the line, but he couldn't keep up with Chandler's wrestling.
Yeah,
that guy's
too much wrestling.
Is just... Wow. Yeah. And that's exciting wrestling. It's not like Ben Askren, I'm going to lay on you and twist your arm and stuff. I mean, it was I'm gonna pick you up and I'm slam you on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you like it. You know, so I'm really excited to see what Chandler does in the future, and if he wins, you know, to see him versus Ben Askren.
Yeah, see which who's wrestling is better. Unfortunately, at least in my book, I don't know if Chandler's gonna be able to, because he's gonna fight Patrycki Pitbull Ferry in the final, and Patrycki has looked crazy good so far this season. So
yeah, Patrycki is on just a whole nother wow.
So like I said, Michael Chandler versus Patrycki Pitbull Ferrari for the championship there, and the last fight on the Bellator 40 card then was Eric Prindle versus Josh Burns. This is sort of an undercard heavyweight fight. Couple guys who were old friends, I guess, old training partners or something. There was a TKO stoppage after the second round.
Looked kind of like a hippie love fest.
Yeah,
though,
kind of did.
I mean, there was crying going on because the doctor stopped it. Then there was even some kissing on the cheek and some hugs, and it got
these
very,
two guys were very close.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of hugging and tears being shed, and when you've seen these guys, you wouldn't expect it. I mean, one got tattoos all over him.
Huge guys, 265 pound guys.
The
like
other one was an Army 6-time champion boxer or something like that. I mean, you wouldn't have guessed, but it got a little too touchy feeling. You know, it's a little too.
I understand exactly where you're coming from. It was two huge guys and just really, really good friends, apparently.
Yeah, I guess whoever lost was buying beers.
I guess.
All right, I guess. It just, maybe next time, let's just put on a show a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
let's
seem like we don't like each other, and then maybe backstage do the hugging and the kissing and stuff. Yeah.
It was kind of disappointing that it ended via doctor stoppage, but Eric Prindle did get the win on that because of the cut, so. That was the Bellator 40 fight card. Moving on to Bellator 41, that was April 16th. The headline fight there was Joe Warren versus Marcus Galveo. Joe Warren is the this was at a catchweight of 137. He's the featherweight champ.
Okay,
but it was at a catchweight of 137. I guess Joe Warren is toying around with the idea of moving down to bantamweight and trying to get the belt there.
Okay,
Joe Warren gets the unanimous decision, 30-27 on one judge's scorecard, 29-28 on the other two.
Mm.
I completely disagree with this decision.
Really,
I watched the entire fight. In my opinion, Marcus Galveo had at least two rounds, if not all three. The third round I could see definitely going to Warren. It seemed like he had that, but the first two rounds were all Galveo. So. I think Joe Warren needs to sort of come off his cocky high horse there and start, you know, really focusing on the fights he has in front of him instead of talking about how he's going to move down to bantamweight and hold two belts. You know, you're going to lose the belt you have if you don't start focusing on the fights you have in front of you.
Well, there you go, Warren. My brother just put you on blast.
Honest, Rob, do you have some stats there on Marcus Galveo? I mean, this was a serious threat, I think, to Joe Warren for his belt. Well, it wasn't a title fight, but...
Yeah, Galveo's most recent activity, he was coming off a 3-win streak. He had spent some time in Ring of Combat. He does have a WEC fight that he did lose in, and then he lost in the Bellator fight. So being that Ring of Combat is more local, it's looking like the fights that I'm seeing here recently that have been in the Double A minors versus the single A minors of Ring of Combat. He has taken two losses. It sounds to me like, you know, this at least what you think anyway, Jason, that this was unfair, you know, decision anyway. But as he's tried to step up, it's looking like he's lost.
So maybe he just had a very good fight, and that's kind of the extent of his.
Yeah, well, he had a very good jiu-jitsu game, I guess, coming into the fight. And the thing that really surprised me was that he was wrestling Joe Warren and out wrestling him.
Mm-hmm.
He was taking him down and you know, staying on top. That really impressed me. And, you know, like I said, he did that for the first two rounds, and the judges still gave Warren at least one of those. One judge gave him all three rounds, and then the other two judges gave him two rounds. And I don't see how that happens.
A bit shifty with their judging, I think. But, you know, they're the type of show where they travel around to different states. They're never in the same place, whereas, you know, UFC, typically, you know, you see them a lot of times in, you know, Vegas or... you know, Canada, the same places. This is not that same type of thing. You know, one day they'll be in Mississippi, the next day they're in Alabama, you know. So I think when you go different commissions, different judging, different states, I think it's hard to get an across the board same type of judging every show.
And I hate to say it, but I think it enters into it. Like we were talking about, this is a non-title fight. So what do you do if Galveo wins? You know, I mean, I think the judges kind of are, you know, inclined to let Warren win so that you don't have that type of an issue.
Okay.
You know,
I can see you on that.
Yeah. The next fight down the card was a featherweight semifinal. It was Patricio Freire, Patrici's little brother, was fighting Wilson Hayes. Patricio gets the win. So both of the Pitbull brothers are now in the finals, yeah. Which is crazy. They both looked really good. It was a round three TKO because of strikes. And Patricio is looking good. He's, I think, the favorite at this point to get that title shot.
So do you like these brothers better than the Diaz brothers?
Much better. I am a fan of Nate Diaz, though. Don't get me wrong. I like Nate Diaz. But, yeah, the Pitbull brothers, I like both of them. Yeah, They're very good fighters.
I'm really excited to see where they go. And
yeah.
The fact that they are brothers, you know, really might take them far in this sport. Because mm-hmm. you do have to kind of – it's getting to the point, you know, MMA is getting commercialized to the point where there has to be something that stands out about you.
Yeah, you need a story.
Yeah, different than just your, you know, have great hands. Or, you know, like, honestly, would we care about Paul Daly as much if he didn't punch Koscheck after the fight?
Probably not as much, no.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I became a fan at that point. Yeah. So.
Well, the other featherweight semifinal was also on this card. It was Daniel Strauss versus Kenny Foster. Daniel Strauss gets the win. Round three, guillotine choke, actually. Kind of surprised me. Daniel Strauss didn't really impress me in the first fight he had in this tournament, but he came out and looked really good against Kenny Foster and gets the win. So.
And Foster is a good fighter, too. He's a game guy. Yeah. So definitely was impressed with that win.
Now it's going to be Daniel Strauss versus Patricio Pitbull Freire for the
good luck
the
on
title
that one.
Shot there, yeah. Daniel Strauss, like I said, looked good, but
yeah.
I don't know, against Pitbull?
I don't trust anyone against either of those.
It's
going to
be rough.
Right,
it's going to be a rough fight for him, I think.
Those guys fight the same, and it's both just, woo.
the last fight on the card was, again, another non-title bantamweight fight. Zach Makovsky, the bantamweight champ, fought Chad Robichaud, and Makovsky gets the round three TKO, gets the win.
Well, at least he ended the fight, convincingly or whatever.
Chad Robichaud was a kind of a game opponent. I mean, he came out, but he just didn't have the technique.
Mm-hmm.
He had the heart. He had, some striking, but it was just wild, flinging punches that just left himself open for too much, and Makovsky took advantage, so.
Yeah.
Chad Robichaud just needed some more work. He wasn't quite there.
So, you know, give him some time. He needs to go back in the oven, bake a little bit longer, and maybe, you know, come out a winner.
So that's going to do it for our Bellator previews, or our reviews anyway. Now we got a preview Bellator 42. It's coming up April 23rd. It's going to be the light heavyweight semifinals. You got DJ Linderman going up against Richard Hale. Richard Hale, again, had that crazy inverted triangle.
Which is crazy because he's actually a professional boxer. So he's my pick to win, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Any professional boxer that can throw up an inverted triangle, you got my vote.
I think I would go for that too. Richard Hale just look. I mean, you didn't get to see a whole lot of him because it was quick, but that inverted triangle was amazing.
Nuts.
And then in the second light heavyweight semifinal, we have Christian Mpumbu versus Tim Carpenter. Rob, do you have some stats on some of those guys for us?
Yeah. We talked a lot about Mpumbu.
Yes,
Mpumbu. It's one of our favorite names to say. Mpumbu was starting with April 29th of 09. He was on a 4-win streak. He did take a loss in Deep Impact, and then was back on a win over Chris Davis back in Bellator 38, and is, you know, kind of on the seems like he's on the way up. You know what I mean? He's got the Tim Carpenter fight scheduled for April 23rd, coming up here Saturday. So,
yep. And like we were saying, on our previous podcast, we were saying that Mpumbu doesn't really cut weight at all. So I think that's eventually going to be a hindrance to him. I think it's going to slow him down. For this fight, I don't know. Tim Carpenter's, I mean, he's a talented guy. He's 6-0. But, you know, without cutting that weight, I think he's always going to be the smaller fighter.
Yeah, he's going to have to. I mean, I don't know how they do it in France, but this is America, buddy.
Yeah.
So, you're going to have to cut some weight. Drop down a weight class, I think he'd do a lot better. He just looked undersized at the fights that he's going to be going into. You know, he looked severely undersized in his last fight. So, going forward, I think that's kind of going to be the theme when you're not cutting weight.
It's going to hold him back eventually. It might not be in this fight, but eventually that size is going to catch up with him.
Yep.
Paul Buentello from UFC, the
headhunter,
was supposed to have a fight on this card. He ended up having to pull out. He has a back injury, so that will not be on the card. The last fight on the card is going to be Josh Arosho versus Ronnie Mann. Josh Arosho is 6-9. Which kind of surprises me that he's getting a fight like this.
Hmm.
Honest Rob, do you have some stats on Ronnie Mann? He's been looking really good lately.
Yeah, overall, Ronnie Mann has 21 matches 18 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. As far as his recent fights, starting back in December 1st, 07, he was on a 5-win streak. Did take a loss back in fighting in Japan in Tokyo. He's on a 2-win streak again, and now he's back over here in Bellator. Yeah. So
he's starting to cool down a little bit recently. Yeah. He started out just going crazy. I think his first 11 fights, he had 1 draw, and then 10 wins.
Yes. Yep.
He 9 submissions and 1 knockout. All of them were
at
ended.
A point. This was actually over in the UK. He was at a point where he was 11-0-1.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he started out just crazy with submissions and knockouts, and since then he still had a lot of submissions too. But I mean, to have a guy like that with that type of a credential fighting a guy who's 6-9.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems a little odd, but...
Well, you know, it's Bellator. They scrape together what they can right now.
They do what they can.
So, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Ronnie Mann does and see if his career can progress and keep going there.
Yeah, that's going to do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
I am Honest Rob.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.